Once you start to create that culture of helping, it will come back to you. Like, you will start to see it happen around you. But if you don't see it, I believe you got to be the one to create it.
You're listening to the Dare to Be Different podcast, a podcast for people who want to live an extraordinary life. On this week's episode, Joe and Ed talk about life in quarantine. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Dare to Be Different podcast. My name is Joe Altieri, coming at you from the Reflex Brands Flex Screen bunker here during quarantine. We have Ed Newell, my long-lost friend who, man, I miss you, man. I haven't seen you for a long time. How you been?
I'm doing good. Yeah, we haven't seen each other at all.
I know. It's been like as soon as we had I think when the lockdown thing happened, we had a podcast scheduled to record, and it was like, we just kind of hit the brakes.
Yeah.
Like, man, let's, you know, like if somebody's going to get sick, it's going to be, you know, either you with all of your kids or me with the, like, let's just not see each other for a while. So,
yeah. Yeah. And I mean, now we're a few weeks into this. Who knows? I don't know when this will air, but we're a few weeks into the quarantine. It's April 15th when we're recording this. But when it first happened, I mean, it's still, there's still so much craziness. No one knows how to really navigate this. We're just taking every day by day. But when it first happened, yeah, it was a little scary. It was like, I don't want to be around anybody.
Sure.
And one of my son has respiratory issues already. And so it was like, he's considered at risk. So I was like, I don't want to be around no one, you know?
Right.
So stay away from me. I'm quarantining. We're sticking to ourselves. And, but yeah, it's been an interesting few weeks. I got two kids under four, and so dealing with them and parenting them and teaching them. And my wife and I are still working and doing our jobs from home. So life hasn't necessarily slowed down for us. I know for a lot of people it has, but we would definitely be in the camp where life has increased, life has picked up.
Right.
And but it's been good. We're navigating the best we can and doing okay. How you doing?
Good. Yeah, real good. So, you know, kind of the same but different sort of situation. You know, I am actually personally busier than I would have been normally, just, you know, running the businesses and keeping everything open. We are considered an essential business. You know, FlexScreen is considered an essential business. So, you know, our plants are open. You know, we're producing screens. You know, the CDC put out some big thing saying, look, if you want to keep your family safe, open your windows, which, you know, has led to, you know, tons of homeowner orders and stuff. So we're still staying, you know, staying busy. It's just a different type of busy than we would have had, if that makes sense.
Right.
So, I mean, it's interesting because, to your point, there's a lot of people that have kind of hunkered down, and, you know, through this, maybe they got laid off their job. Maybe they can just do it straight from home. You know, those types of things. And, you know, there's a, I don't want to say jealousy because that's completely the wrong word, but there's just like, man, I wish I had that like two or three days where I didn't have to do anything and just quote unquote enjoy the quarantines, that type of thing.
But, yeah, there's definitely I've had that for some people. Obviously, there's a massive group of people that have gotten laid off and have had financial instability. And
yeah, and I don't want to be insensitive to that at all. No, that was not my intention.
Yeah, but. No, and our hearts go out to those people. And you know, hopefully the government continues to do some things here that are gonna really help some people too. But yeah, for me, I'm thankful that I'm still getting paid. I still got my job. But yeah, it's just been such a unique season of a different kind of busyness. My job has gotten busier, but the things that I'm doing, I think you kind of just alluded to that too. The things that are keeping me busy in the season are things that I wouldn't even really be doing in my normal operation. It's just everything has totally shifted. My focus has shifted, priorities have shifted, and but yeah, it's been a unique challenge to figure this out and maintain health in my personal life and my family and my business and everything else. So, but I like a good challenge, so it's been fun.
So let's talk about your job for a minute, because you're in the leadership position in a volunteer organization that really relies on people getting together. You know, that part of what you're doing is you guys have a vision, a goal for how to make the world better, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of that requires people meeting together and your teams meeting together and things like that. And I think that a lot of our listeners, through all of this, you know, they still want to have an extraordinary life. They still want to be generous. They still want to put their mark on the world. But yet the ways that maybe they had thought that they were going to do that have changed because we have to social distance. We can't be around people. So, you know, if you were helping out at a church, you know, that has changed. If you were helping out at a food bank, you know, that looks different. If you were helping out, you know, whatever sort of thing that you were doing to make the world a better place, maybe you were just, you know, maybe you were watching your grandchildren, you know, once or twice a week because your children needed help. That has changed. You know, like some of those things that we were doing to give back to the world now look different or aren't possible. So yeah. I'd be really curious to see how your organization is adjusting to that, how your teams and even your individuals, because I'm sure that you guys have, you know, you've still been leading that organization through this. And to your point, you've gotten busier. So I assume that you guys have put some things in place to help people give back and do their thing.
Right.
So,
yeah. So, from that perspective, we've had to approach it in a few different ways. We've had to approach it organizationally, but also really personally and how to meet people exactly where they're at. Organizationally, it hasn't been very different from a lot of other, for-profit organizations. We're relying on Zoom, we're relying on different technologies that are bringing us together online. We've implemented various ways to connect with other people. Mm-hmm. We are a church, you know, but through our organization every single day of the week. So we have something happening every single day that's happening over Facebook or on Instagram or something that's going to allow people to join in. And it, obviously it's voluntary on their part. We're just making it an option, making it available, and people are showing up. And at the beginning, it was a lot of us communicating to you. And that rapidly changed because we discovered that wasn't actually what people were looking for. People just wanted connection, right? People just mm-hmm. want to hang out. People just want to be in relationship. We weren't designed to live alone, be alone.
Right.
And so we started just doing just hangouts. And I've seen this happen organically through my friends on Facebook too, where I see, parents getting together for a late night Zoom call and they're maybe playing a game or they're just sitting talking. So we've been facilitating that just through our organization, just to give people an outlet to hang out together, to talk together, to play stupid games, anything that we can play over a digital format, we've been doing. And we've gotten a lot of great response to that. People have really leaned into that. It seems like our numbers on that continue to get higher on the community stuff that we're doing. On the stuff where people are just watching, it was pretty high to start, and it's just kind of maintained. It hasn't necessarily gotten higher, hasn't gotten lower. This seems like the people that want to tune in to the things where we're broadcasting to you, they're there. But for the community stuff, it seems like that stuff is gaining traction. Like the more people are a part of it and enjoy it, you know, it's then you're having a reciprocal effect or multiplication.
Okay. I got you.
So it is growing. And so that's been really cool. On a personal level, my capacity to talk to people one-on-one and call people one-on-one and have one-on-one conversations has actually gone up. So where normally I feel like my week can be a lot of meetings and a lot of just making things work, all that kind of stuff has gone out the window. Our physical operations of our buildings and things have just kind of stopped. So
you're not crossing people in the hallway anymore. And and catching up. So now you actually have to, make it purposeful.
A lot of intentional phone calls. Yeah.
Interesting.
And not that I wasn't already doing that before, but that wasn't where my focus was. And it wasn't where I really had the capacity to put my time. Right. But now I really don't have an excuse. Now I have the time. I definitely have the time. I'm working from home. I'm setting my own schedule. It might not sound like I have the time when I call you because you're going to hear two screaming kids in the background and, you know, constantly people are saying to me like, do you got to go? Like, you sure you're okay? I'm like, yeah, they're fine. Or something's on fire, but it's fine, you know? But so
they haven't given the secret knock that says somebody's on, that somebody needs the emergency room. So we're good.
Right. Exactly.
But like, no, that's a different cry. It's all right. That's not,
You just know.
Yep.
But it's been totally okay because we're all in that same boat. And a lot of the people I'm talking to have kids too. And so I hear their kids in the background, and it's just, we all just know this is what life is right now. And so that kind of thing has increased, where I'm having a lot more one-on-one, probably more lengthy catching up. Well, like you mentioned, passing in the hallway sort of deal, that can be so brief, but now it's much more lengthy engagement that I'm having the opportunity to do. And I'm trying to take advantage of it while I'm in this season to do that.
So, I mean, first of all, you know, some of your comments, I found, you know, because again, I'm running a business. So I'm on Zoom calls now with, you know, presidents of companies, vice presidents of companies, and they're sitting in their living room. And there's this level of intimacy that we have now, that even though we can't be together, we're pulling back the shades a little bit to our real, quote unquote, real world, you know, our real lives. And it's really interesting. You know, you see some people's, you know, they got like, you know, their dogs running around, their kids running through with a diaper on. You're like, oh, wow. You know, I was afraid to call you on your cell phone 3 weeks ago. And now, now we're sharing, you know, so that's really interesting.
We've leaned into that as an organization because, just talking from our perspective. So we are a church, and a lot of churches were doing online streaming from their main building. Mm-hmm. And it was just kind of a skeleton crew of whoever they needed there. But we actually really wanted to lean into this home idea because we're all stuck at home. Every single person is stuck at home.
Right.
And so our services that we've been doing like on Sundays or even things that we're doing throughout the week, we've actually done them in our basement. I'm in my basement right now talking to you. When I was live streaming to 3,000 people this past Sunday, I was in my basement. I was in the same basement. And we intentionally did that because I want to meet you where you're at. And I want us to be on the same level here. And we could have gone to our facility, and it's you know, HVAC is off, so it's freezing in there. And I mean, like, we could have had a skeleton crew and we could have done that whole thing. We could have.
Right.
But for us, it was really saying, okay, in order to meet people where they're at, in order to engage people and really allow us to have a unique connection today, we really felt like, okay, we need to be the same. We need to be on the same platform because we are the same.
Right.
And so that was a really strategic decision that we made to go that route to try and meet people further where they're at. And we feel like it was the right call. We don't necessarily know.
Right.
If like we're doing better than somebody else, it's not really about that. But it was just about this feeling that we were trying to give off by doing what we did, how we chose to do it.
Sure. So that's you know, kind of corporately we talked about that. Now let's talk about individually. So there's, you know, there's a lot of people that are, you know, number one, they're going freaking stir crazy, right? they've been trapped in their houses, and there's a lot of people that, you know, through this time, they see needs and they just don't necessarily, I don't know if it's like, man, I'm afraid to try to fill those needs. I'm afraid to, you know, go out and take that step out, or, you know, it's so maybe it's out of my comfort zone or whatever the case may be. But I think that there's this overwhelming feeling that we feel a little bit helpless. You know what I mean? Because you know, this virus is not something that we personally can fight. There's only so many times you can wash your hands and social distance and stuff like that. And, you know, the government is dictating what we can do, what we can't do. And I think that in some ways, if we find ways to give back, we can start taking some of the power back of our lives and our story, you know what I mean? Of how we handle this quarantine? Did we hole up in our basement and hoard all the toilet paper and live in fear, or did we do something good for the world? And, you know, I think that there's really some really simple ways to do that. And again, your organization is a volunteer organization. I mean, like you said, it's a church, you know what I mean? And you guys had tons of different outreaches that you've done. And I'm sure some of those you can't do right now, but I'm also sure that there's still people out doing great things, you know, individually to make the world a better place. Yeah, you have anything that you can think of off the top of your head that you've seen?
Yeah. Again, organizationally, it just has to look different. We are doing an outreach. That's a company with a food bank coming up this weekend, but the way we're handling it is so different than how we're doing it. You drive up, you drop. It's a drive-by drop-off of goods.
Like you hold it out the window.
And yeah, exactly. Like, we got a skeleton crew and gloves and masks are going to be receiving it and wiping it down and then, you know, getting it where it needs to go. So that's just looking a lot different. But we've also, again, through the organization, we've done this, but personally, we've done this too. There have been times where we see needs, just they come up organically. They come up by a post on Facebook, or they come up through so-and-so told me that so-and-so needs help. And then because a lot of people will maybe try to funnel their help through me or another leader in the organization, they'll say, oh, hey, I heard so-and-so is having this issue. I want to mail them a check. Or I want to send them this item that they said they need. Diapers was one of the things. So I've been able to facilitate some of those things. And those have just been individuals. I haven't even put the call out. It's been an individual organically hearing about it and then wanting to help just naturally meet that need.
Right.
My wife, she saw some people on Facebook that literally needed toilet paper. And it's been crazy, right? Like the hoarding of toilet paper was such a crazy thing, but people saying they needed it and they've gone to 7, 8, 10 stores unable to find it. So my wife, who was online one day, she saw it in stock on samsclub.com. She literally placed an order and sent it directly to those people and then just like text them and said, hey, you know,
help is on the way.
Help is on the way. Right. You only have to use one square for a little bit longer. But I mean, that was something that she just wanted to do for somebody out of the generosity of her spirit. No one had to tell her to do it. No one had to say, hey, you should look for ways to do this. It was really just her living an extraordinary life, saying, okay, what can I do for someone right now in this moment? We've, on a personal level for us, we haven't really gone out of our way to maybe go and do something for somebody. Because again, we've been, with my son's issues, we've been taking quarantining pretty seriously. But being that we are in a position that we still have our jobs, we're still financially stable, we have done things like that where we've sent items to people remotely.
You've helped out financially Okay.
Yeah. So that's been something that we've personally done. And I've seen other people do that. I've seen people do make meals for people. I just seen this on Facebook, people part of my community and everything else that are making meals and delivering it to people's homes. And I've seen people that are trying to advertise jobs because there are companies hiring in this season.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
And so I've been seeing people trying to recruit for jobs, let people know like, hey, if you lost your job, this opportunity is available. And so I think those sort of things have been really cool to see, almost just this coming back to the most basic level of humanity to look out for one another. We're not all, it doesn't feel like we're in the big rat race of life at the moment because it's not, you know, so fast paced as it used to be. Now it feels like, hey, we're all in the same boat. And you got a need, how can I meet that need? And I feel like, and maybe it's because I am part of a church and so the people I'm connected with, I'd like to think maybe have good spirits, I don't know. But I feel like I've been seeing that more and more and more. And I hope, whether you're religious or all or connected to a church at all, I hope you've been seeing the same thing. And if you're not, I believe you can help create it. I believe no matter where you're at, if you want to see that in your neighborhood, in your community, and your family, maybe you be the one to start it. Maybe you be the one to reach out to your family and friends and say, hey, how are you doing? Mm-hmm. What do you need? How can I help you in this season? And if they say something that you really do believe you can do, just do it and start to create it. Because I believe once you start to put that out there, once you start to create that culture of helping, it will come back to you. Like you will start to see it happen around you. But if you don't see it, I believe you got to be the one to create it.
That's actually really, really good. And, the matchmaking of jobs and things like that, I didn't even think about that because I've done that several times because we've had some of our customers and things like that. We had one customer close down completely, like they're out of business. Mm-hmm. And, the people that, especially in their management team, they don't care about unemployment. They want to work. You know what I mean? And again, not that unemployment isn't good, it's vital during this time, but they're just workers. And like, hey, who do I know? I'm like, hey, I know somebody. And you just connect those dots. And again, it seems like to me, it was just such a simple thing, but mm-hmm. man, that could change their trajectory, of their lives going forward. I was thinking about, especially with all of the yard work being done and stuff mm-hmm. like that. How easy would it be to find in your neighborhood, maybe an older person, somebody that might struggle to get some of that stuff done? Just go out and cut their grass. You're still social distancing. You can be in their yard. Like, don't even tell them you're doing it. Just go down and cut their grass. If they're really particular about your yard, maybe you should tell them. But, just things like that would be so it would just be really meaningful and probably start developing some relationships that, before this we might not have had. What I'm seeing, at least this is my impression, up until this happened, we were definitely divided. I mean, there was, the country, there were Democrats and Republicans, vaxxers, anti-vaxxers. There was just like, if you had some opinion about something, there were people on the other side that were screaming just as loud, about why they were right and you were wrong. And it just seems like this situation, a lot like wars and other things that our country has gone through, has really in a lot of ways unified us and brought us together. We're all in this together. Like there is no one, it doesn't matter if you're, a senator, an actor, or somebody who lost their job yesterday, this you're getting affected. So,
right.
We have this opportunity to connect and be generous with each other that we didn't have before.
Right.
So,
you're totally right in that the feeling that we are all on the same side fighting this one thing it's been really unique. Obviously, there's still so much politics involved in the whole thing, especially sure. in America here. But the truth is, I love how you said, like an actor, like Saturday Night Live.
Right.
Past Sunday, I forget what day that was, April 12th or something. They filmed it all from their homes, and right. And it was funny. Like it was engaging. But the same reason, like my organization chose to broadcast from my basement, the same reason they did what they did. Obviously they're under stay at home order in New York and everything else, but it's like, we are all in this same boat. We are all on the same level. We all have the same needs, the same most basic needs. We need to make rent. We got to pay mortgages. We need toilet paper, we need food, whatever the case may be. We all just have these super basic needs. I mean, even businesses, there's a lot of businesses that are maybe still operating their normal day-to-day. They might be working from home, but their operations have relatively stayed the same. Mm-hmm. But for even a lot of organizations that are still working with employees from home or whatever, just things look so different right now. And that's when you see like whole operations start changing their manufacturing to produce masks instead right. of producing whatever they were doing. And so even on an organizational level, it feels like, oh my gosh, we're all in this together trying to fight this thing. And yeah, there's something so, I don't know, like magical about that feeling. And you said this earlier when we were talking about financials, not to make light of any of the tragedy that's happened with people losing their lives and people losing income. But if you are in a position to help, I want to almost say it's like you have an obligation to yeah. make sure you are, for the sake of humanity, for the sake of your fellow man, just to say, okay, how can I help somebody today? How can I, bless someone today? And I don't believe if I'm in a position to help somebody, I don't believe that it is my responsibility to hold on to everything I have, but I believe it is really my opportunity then to say, okay, what can I give away? How can I really help somebody? And talking about being an extraordinary life, one of our five words, generous. It's like, that's how I want to live my life. That's how I want to be. And it doesn't matter what's going on around me in this season, in this circumstance, on this day, how can I choose to be generous today?
It is, and I like that. I believe the same thing, that if you have the opportunity now, it's not an opportunity, it's an obligation. That we should feel obligated to help out in whatever way we can. You know, even supporting local businesses, you know, things like that are, you know, again, it seems silly, but you know, Alicia's family, you know, we've been running the auto shop, the service station, and you know, they're slow. And it's one of those things where you go, okay, well, you know, we're going to do whatever we have to do to keep those guys employed and keep that place open and make sure that all of the customers have the opportunity to go out and, you know, if their car needs fixed, you know, it's open for them. And man, you know, when customers come in and they're like, hey, you know what, I was going to put this off till next month or whatever, but I want to support you guys. We're doing this now. That means that's again, it's such a little thing to somebody, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But to those people that are affected, it's huge.
I'm glad you brought that up. I saw someone else do this tip and I'll share it with you. Buy gift cards from these small businesses. Mm. Most businesses have some form of gift cards that you can purchase. And so if you know that you're probably going to use that business in the future, even if you don't need it now, is it possible for you to buy that now and give them just a little inject of income so that, you know, it might just help just that little bit, but that's really good. What can you do to support your neighborhood, your community, your small businesses in your area to help them see that through? That's a really great tip.
Yeah. I mean, I think people think that, you know, the government bailout and all that stuff, all these local businesses are going to be able to survive. I can tell you as a small business owner and, you know, being connected to with people that are small, like there are a lot of businesses that are going to go under because of this if we don't support them. You know, there was a local grocery store, which you would think through all of this, you know, that, oh, grocery stores are so busy, you know, they don't even have food on the shelves and all this stuff. And they closed their doors you know, last week. So, yeah, this is definitely a tough time for local businesses, and that's trickle down. You know what I mean? So a local business goes under, and suddenly that one that we went to all the time, or that our neighbors worked at, or whatever the case may be, is no longer there, and it just, you know, eventually it does affect us. So even if we don't want to be generous, we should be supporting local business just because, you know, we want those local businesses to survive because it's important to us.
Yeah.
So
another category of people, and to go back to the introductions we started with, myself being a parent of two young kids, it's been so helpful for us to set up FaceTimes with other families of young kids.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a break. It is truly a break for the parents. And if I feel like I'm having a difficult time, probably another parent is as well. So setting something like that up and just jumping on to FaceTime with the kids, allowing them to, and they're not even, my kids aren't even talking to the other kids. They're just smiling and screaming at each other. And
right.
My son's trying to put like glasses on the screen, you know, like sunglasses on the person he's talking to. But just those things, it costs us nothing. And it actually, to some way, it selfishly helps me too, but it really is helping them. It's letting the kids engage and have some social interaction, which they should be getting at school or preschool or wherever they would be at, and might give the parent 5 minutes to wash the dishes or do something else. And so it might seem so simple, but if you're a parent and you're banging your head on the wall thinking like, how do I, you know, fill this schedule for my kid all day long, set up a phone call with some other kids or make sure you, I knew some friends who they went to Chick-fil-A, mm-hmm. which is closed. So they went through the drive-thru. They sat in the parking lot together next to each other, windows up. But they called each other on the phone. And so like you could see each other, you're hanging out, you feel like you're eating together, but you know, so it's so random. It seems like silly, but in this season, what can you do to stay social with somebody? And I use those examples from my organization earlier, but that's just personal.
Right.
On Sunday, my family, with my parents and my brother and his whole family, we did a FaceTime Easter dinner. And so we would have been gathering that day for dinner anyway. So we set up our devices at our tables. We all ate at 5 and we all made our own food and we just sat and we had dinner together. And it takes a little bit of intentionality to reach out to your family or friends and say, hey, let's do this. But
I truly believe that is generosity of spirit. And that sure. is generosity on your part to say, how can we maintain our relationships through the season, not let them fall away, but actually strengthen them through quarantine?
You know, one of the things, and we'll end with this, but one of the things that I'm convinced of is that some of the mental things and emotional things that we go through when we are quarantined. So there's people that are depressed. There's people that are, you know, suicidal. There are people that are really having a lot of anxiety over this, you know, all of these things. I'm convinced that if we can take our minds off of us and stop the, you know, the internal dialogue of how does this affect me? How does this affect me? And we can put it to the outside world and start finding ways that we can impact other people in a positive way. It will actually change your whole emotional well-being through this situation. You know, if I'm doing something, if I'm reaching out to, you know, my niece or nephew that's a teenager and just saying, hey, how are you doing? And being an ear to listen to them on FaceTime or on the phone or whatever the case may be. You know, some of these people that are struggling that don't necessarily reach out, and teenagers will never tell you that they're struggling, you know what I mean? But they are, and they need somebody to talk to, and they need an adult to tell them that, you know, things are going to be okay and we're going to get through this, because they internalize and they see crap on Facebook. And, you know, I'm just using that as an example. But if we're reaching out and trying to, you know, trying to help them be better, suddenly our internal, you know, that internal view as it becomes external actually helps us. So,
yeah, I
think anything that we can do to make somebody else's life better during this time is actually good for us.
I agree with that a lot. And I think you have an upcoming guest coming up on one of your future episodes. We're going to talk about mental health. But mm-hmm. I think so much of anxiety is rooted in just worrying about your own life. And if you can do a step that just takes the focus off of you, even if it's for a brief moment, may that give you a breath of fresh air away from anxiety about what's going on with you, in order to help somebody else. So it's really good. Yeah.
So, well, Ed, I really appreciate it. I miss you. We're going to have to do this again more often so that we can, you know, if nothing else, we can just chit chat and talk, and people Let's just can be a fly on the wall as we're talking. Yeah. But for all of the listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. We hope that you got something great out of this. You know, please make sure that through this, you understand that number one, this is temporary. We're going to get through this. We're all going to get through this together. And this is part of our story. And, you know, you get to choose the words that are written in that story. So make sure that they are words of generosity and being grateful even through this time. So thank you so much for listening. We will catch up with you next time.